Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne.
And I'm Kendra. And you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. We are a radio show podcast that started for couples struggling with infertility and miscarriage, because that was and is our story. And we've gone on to talk about fostering, adoption, and just when your life looks differently than you planned, how you trust God in the middle of the process. So
that's right. That's why we're here. We hope that we can encourage you along the journey. Or if you're here even listening for a friend or a family member, we hope that we can encourage you along the way too with that. Mm-hmm. We have some special guests. If you're not watching, we have some special guests joining us in studio.
Much anticipated and requested guests,
They have been requested a few times.
Yes, they are our husbands.
They're our husbands. You want to introduce yours first?
I will. Eric Knox is over here. And if anybody here is on the radio, sometimes I go by my name, Kendra White, which was before him. And so, I am married.
You were famous before you got married.
I have two last names on the radio, so I am Kendra Knox. But yes, he, Ann teased me right before. She was like, last time you came on, you were like, this is my wonderful, awesome husband. And I just introduced mine. I was like, this is Will. So now I'm trying to tone down the awesomeness.
He can be, he can still be that awesome.
He's still awesome. Yeah. But this is Eric.
If you go back and listen to their first story, you'll understand what I'm meaning of how awesome.
And in case they're listening and not watching, why don't you talk so they can hear your voice?
Yeah, my name's Eric.
There he is. I let him talk every once in a while at home.
We're glad to have you, Eric.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm glad to be here.
We've talked about this episode for a long time now.
Yeah.
And I have my hubby, Will Cockrell, who's all things wonderful.
How's it going?
And why are we so awkward all of a sudden?
I don't know.
It's because our husbands are drunk.
What do we do?
They're normally not with us.
It's like when someone's watching you type.
It is.
Yes.
It's like, you're bring your husband on work day or something. I don't know.
That's how it is around here, though.
But there's a reason that we brought them in specifically for today's episode, and that is Father's Day.
Father's Day.
Dun, dun, dun.
We didn't plan that.
So we have a lot of special Mother's Day episodes every year, and that's because Mother's Day, if you're struggling with infertility or child loss, is one of the hardest days of the year. But I did not anticipate for me how hard Father's Day was going to be. I remember like going to church and being prepared on Mother's Day, and like emotionally my walls were up. But on a Father's Day I went, and I had to leave the service and go in another room because I just had so many expectations for wanting to see my husband be a dad and just feeling it for you, the empathy. And so, yeah, but nobody can talk about it better than somebody who has actually lived it. So we want
to. I feel like you took that Father's Day harder than I did.
I did.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
I think I would say the same for Will for the most part. I think he's always been good at being like, it's a day. And then we had Emily Brooks on our last Mother's Day episode last year, and she made a wonderful point of like, girls, it is just a man-made holiday.
Yeah,
like, this is nothing in scripture.
Yeah.
And she was like, so Mother's Day didn't exactly bother me that much. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you're so right. Like, right. I wasted so many years.
You can still glorify the Lord and honor Him and find joy, even though it can be hard at times.
Yes. But when all the other mothers or all the other the people that are fathers are getting celebrated and being asked to stand up in church and baby dedications going on, possibly, it's hard and like salt on the wound whenever you know. I struggled with guilt because our infertility was, you know, quote unquote, my fault. And so it was like, he would be a daddy if he would have married someone else. You know, I don't know if this is going to happen. So anyway.
But a lot of the women that are listening, they want to understand a guy's perspective of the issues that we talk about regularly. And they're like, please help me understand my husband. So let's thank you guys for coming on today.
Yeah.
And we asked our listeners if they had any questions that they wanted to ask you. And we had a couple of really good ones. So we're going to sprinkle those in with a couple of our own questions today. And we'll just jump in and get started. So Anything look good to you, and
we can start wherever.
All right.
So first off, Eric, you mentioned that Father's Day wasn't as hard for you as Kendra, at least that one time.
Yeah.
Did you still feel like that throughout other years?
I think so, yeah. Like, I mean, not to say that it wasn't hard at all, but like mm-hmm. the first one where we started trying, and it's hard for me to recall exactly, had we had a miscarriage by the time that first Father's Day came around?
I think the first one, no. I think it was we had just started all of our fertility.
Yeah, so I mean, I feel like that first one, it was like, it's not here, but like it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like you can have the tendency to like, mm-hmm. your mind runs all the way down this worst case scenario, and mm-hmm. you felt all these emotions as though we had tried everything and we're never having children, mm-hmm. and you're processing that on that Father's Day, and I'm like, it's going to happen. Don't worry about it. Right?
Yeah. Well, and I know all guys are different, but I feel too, like, most women like me, we want children. If we said, like, how much do I want? It's like a 10 out of 10. And, like, for you, like, it was, like, you know, like, I want children, but I'm, like, a 3 on the scale. Like, not that you didn't want them.
Yeah, no.
But
like,
you didn't experience it as intensely.
Yeah, I definitely, like, definitely wanted kids. But if God had come down and said, hey, Eric, you're just never going to have kids, man. Mm-hmm. Just go ahead and wrap your head around it. I'd be like, man, that's rough. Let's me process that. Give me, like, 3 days to wrap my head around it, and I just move on.
And not all guys are like that. Some guys have an intense
it's true.
Desire as
it's
well.
True.
We have
it's
a
true,
friend
yeah.
that falls
Do
into that
like
category.
You would feel the same way?
Yeah, no, I'd probably be a little different.
I think
it would definitely take some more time. And
grew up with a lot of kids, and like part of y'all's relationship.
I was gonna say,
kids,
yeah,
right?
I mean, with the fact that me and Ann were together so long, we babysit kids together.
We babysit,
you know,
that was our date night on Friday nights. We would
really?
Babysit. Oh, yeah.
Was it really? Did you babysit?
People, if you asked our little group of people that we babysat for, they'd be like, oh, yeah, we got a 2-for-1. I mean, like, because everyone loved Mr. Will,
aww.
And I was just there to provide snacks and change diapers.
Okay.
So that's what it was.
So then you start dreaming. You know, like, okay, this is going to be us one day. And so, yeah, then when that's not reality, when you are wanting it to be, mm-hmm. it's different. But
see, I was already kind of reticent.
Thank you, Mr.
I was
producer.
Already reticent about having kids to begin with, just because I was like,
yeah,
I don't know exactly what this is going to look like for me being in a wheelchair. I don't know. Like, I have, you know, like, I'm cool with being around kids for like 20, 30 minutes, and then I'm like, all right, that was fun. I'm out. See you guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I like understood like there's no getting out of this when it starts. And so I was just like, gosh, I don't even know. I don't really know what this is going to look like. Like I would never.
Which I totally understand that.
If I was dating some girl who was babysitting kids, I'd be like, have fun. I'm going to go hang out with my guys.
Yeah.
Well, and I had to accept that just because he didn't experience the desire as strongly as I did didn't mean that he didn't have the desire and still wasn't processing grief in his own way. And that was a lot of times I kind of felt like, do you even care about this? You know, like.
So you mentioned, you were like, okay, did that happen before or after the first miscarriage? So we had someone ask a question kind of with that. They asked, NICU or miscarriage experiences, that's what this is with. How long has it taken you to process any trauma you experienced, or are you still dealing with any of that? And do y'all have any like resources or something that might have helped you? Either, you know, y'all have experienced a few miscarriages, we've experienced miscarriages, and then the loss of John Micah. Did that affect Father's Day differently?
Go ahead, Will.
Yeah, Will, I think you need to take this one.
I think there's probably not a birthday or a Father's Day that goes by that you don't still have that with you. And I think that's okay. I think me and Ann talk all the time. I mean, I guess everybody processes trauma and grief differently, but I think it sure helps us, and it makes all the miscarriages and loss more real. You know, for us, we feel like when we talk about it, you know, if you ignore it, it makes it not all feel as real.
Well, and you, right, so after losing John Micah, you talked about that, because for Will, he was by himself when he found out John Micah had passed away. And you, I don't know if you've shared necessarily publicly, but you like, I wasn't with you, but you picked up a chair or something and threw it or something in the hospital.
There was a chair beside me and there was doctors and everything. And yeah, I just, I was.
That's not Will at all.
The immediate response, yeah, was I couldn't even understand that she was saying what she was saying. And then I'm processing it. Yeah. And then there was a
So did you throw a chair?
I hit a chair.
Oh, you hit a chair.
Yeah.
Does it make sense to you guys to feel that level of rage, or are y'all just sad at that moment? Because we process like that makes total sense to me. Like, yeah, punch a hole in the wall in that moment makes total sense. Does that make sense to y'all?
That would not even be on my radar. Yeah. Like, I'd be experiencing deep emotions, but the thought of breaking something, hitting something, never crossed my mind.
I don't think.
I feel like the way y'all expel negative emotions, maybe through tears with guys, we need to punch something.
Yeah. Probably more physical. Yeah.
Well, and I know he was ready to like get to the back with me, but they're asking how you've handled trauma. So what would you say has been a way of dealing with that?
I mean, honestly, again, back to as much as it hurts, it's kind of fun for me to think back to the day. Anytime that whatever happens causes me to think back to that day, I'll do it. And I don't like push those thoughts away. I don't, you know, I just take them because honestly, it's the only time that I got to hold my son, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I don't push him away. The miscarriages are a little different because that was more you experiencing that, not me. And so, yeah, those are more like, I'm just kind of leaning on you or just whatever you're needing.
Being there for me.
Yeah, being there for you. Yeah, being there for you.
Y'all didn't do IVF or anything, did you? Okay.
No, we had gotten to the point, though, that we were told this is like your last doctor's appointment. My doctor basically released me and he was like, you need to go. He was going to send us to a place in Dallas and we were like, we had already said we weren't going to do IVF, but we did take paperwork home, and I think I made a phone call or two, and then we were like, there's no, we just didn't feel like the Lord was leading us to that, because he was like, we've done everything that we know to do for that. And Will, he had already come to the conclusion of like, I think we need to be done, you know, with the medical things, and I just hadn't necessarily gotten there yet. It was like, okay, just one more step, just one more, one more step. So talking about trauma has still helped you. And I think a lot of that, Eric, I don't know if you would agree, but, you know, guys, it seems like in our generation and the generation before us, boys were taught, like, you don't cry. Like, you know.
Suck it up.
Yeah. Like, you're a man. You need to be a man. You need to be tough. But, like, in those instances.
I cry my eyes out.
Yeah, I was going to say, is tough necessarily a thing, you know?
No, I mean, all right, so, like, in the moment, because we did IVF, so we knew there's this moment that it's building up to, this pregnancy test that you're going to take. And our first time around, I mean, our kids were barely a blip on the radar. I never saw their faces. We never gave them names. And so they you know, they had personhood, but we never saw them. Right. So it made it a lot easier. And I think it, rather than processing grief as we lost a child, I think it was more of like, this process didn't work. And it's hard. It's hard to wrap your mind around. Like, there's these two little lives that came like in and out in a very short amount of time.
Right.
And so I guess because I never met them, I never, you know, I don't have a face to like look back on in my mind. And then the second time around, it was kind of the same thing.
Where we had two embryos transferred and only one that continued developing.
Yeah. And so but I still, it still felt like we won. You know what I mean? Like it was like we're pregnant, but then there's only one kid. And for me, it felt like the pregnancy overlapped the loss of that embryo, you know? And again, I never met them. I didn't ever, when they never had a name, I never saw their face.
And just throwing this in there for anybody who's just listening, because we are incredibly pro-life at Hannah's
yes.
Heart. And IVF,
yes.
we talk about this a lot in other episodes, but we felt called to do a version of IVF that only created as many embryos as we could safely transfer in yeah. one cycle, because we were hoping that anything that we created would become a part of our family, and yeah. there's nothing left in the freezer.
We had dedicated, I mean, they said at most you're probably going to get 3 embryos, you know, on a... You know, at a wild card, it would be 5 embryos. And we just said, if we have 5 embryos, we're going to, maybe we'll have 5 kids. yeah. It just is what it is. We'll just yeah. keep coming back for them. But yeah. we're not leaving yeah. them, you know, in right. a freezer.
Yeah. Right. But I do remember that first time that, you know, we had 2 transferred and yeah. Got that positive pregnancy test and then found out that we'd miscarried. And you just boohooed. And like,
yeah.
I think it hit you harder initially. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It hit me hard right off the bat.
Like, it hit me hard. But then it was like, I feel like, after a couple days, you were doing a lot
yeah,
better. And
probably 48 hours, I was like back to neutral.
Yeah, and it's different, I think, for mm-hmm. every guy. Like, I think I'm the one who still is remembering some of those seasons and dates and still keeps always going back because my body experienced mm-hmm. that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that is, and some guys do experience it the same as their wives, but I've had to give you space to just, it's okay that you grieve different than I grieve
yeah.
that.
Yeah. For sure. I just think that it has to be a thing whenever it's not their body's experiencing yeah. what's going on. It's okay that they can't acknowledge, mm-hmm. you know, like it's okay that we're all yeah. different, yeah. you know.
One of the traumas I do want to mention just of fertility treatments in general, I know it's not the same as like, you know, losing a child, but there is a lot of trauma that goes into the process of IVF that doesn't always get talked about. There is a emotional turmoil, like, I mean, you can
yeah.
describe
oh, yeah.
how awful that, like, the stimulation phase, all the shots, it's just a
it's
lot
a
of
roller
stress.
Coaster.
It's a lot of ups and downs. And then, and if you then have a loss, you now have tons of money that your family has right. scrimped and saved and, you know, been eating mm-hmm. beans for weeks. And so you have that, not that it's all about money, but, you know, you have
it's
like,
a factor.
It's yeah. a lot of yeah.
a
different
factor.
Kind
well,
of trauma.
Then stress on marriage, too. I mean, like, when you're already spending that much money.
Yeah. And yeah. It's a blow to your spirit. It's a blow to your emotion. It's a blow to your pocketbook.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
it's just, it's all the way around. It's just a kick, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
Speaking of marriages, how has your infertility and child loss journey impacted your all's marriage? Anything you want to share about that?
Oh, man. It's hard to sum that up.
Yeah.
But in all the good ways, honestly, and I'm thankful to be able to say that. I mean, I think from the beginning back to, you know, even with the miscarriages and then losing John Micah, I mean, I think me and Ann, just chose to talk through it, just through every stage, and I'm grateful that we did, you know, and it's strangely, I think the way I always say it is it's weird that things like that actually strengthen you,
mm-hmm.
you know, but God's word tells us that is how it works, you know.
Are there
any testing?
I want to say you can definitely see where roots of bitterness could get sowed
oh, yeah. sure.
through That's this what... whole marriage. Yeah, through the mm-hmm. whole process. And I think you either choose, like, it's either going to make us stronger or it's going to
yeah.
tear us apart.
Yeah, you don't
totally agree. I don't think there's a middle ground.
Yeah, no. You got to choose one way or the other for sure.
Are there any standout moments that come into your mind where you saw God's strength moving through Anne, where you're like, man, I'm proud of how she tapped into Him in that moment?
Well, I'm proud of her all the time.
Oh, thanks.
I think she's the best. But, I mean, yeah. I mean, I can picture every, you know, her holding John Micah. And, you know, I feared just because I knew how much she loved being a mom, how much she wanted to have kids, all the things. I feared, you know, that maybe something like that would break her. You know, but I could see and I watched her, you know, lean on God, you know, and allow Him to comfort her even when she probably didn't even want to be comforted or even feel, you know, she'd tell you she was mad at God, you know, but I think she was honest with herself and Him about that.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I think there's still days when you hear awful stories of you know, ungodly events happening to babies. And it's like, I wasn't going to do that. Mm-hmm. I was going to, you know, teach him to love you, Lord. And, you know, we were going to bring him up as a man that, you know, want. But I have to get comfort in knowing that I think John Micah has already made a big voice for himself in his tiny little life. And, of course, that's God.
Yeah.
But he's possibly impacting more people through his death than, you know, he would have possibly if the Lord would have healed him or at least kept him safe. And so for that, I'm grateful. And, yeah, I mean, even thinking about watching Will, being proud of him allowing himself to love John Micah and his story. Not that if he wouldn't love John Micah, but, like, as a man, I feel like he could have been, like, just ticked off. Mm-hmm. Like, he took my son. Mark is our son. He's not our biological son. That doesn't make him any less of a son. But he took his biological son and, you know, like, why did this have to happen? And but he didn't. He didn't do that. There have been times he has been mad, and you know, all of a sudden it's just like I don't know where this grief just came from, but it just showed. But him definitely letting the Lord carry him through that, and just being honest through those times of weakness. But that the Lord can, if you let him and allow him, he can make you strong through that.
Well, I had a question for you on fatherhood. How has infertility and our loss impacted the way that you parent? Has there been any, like, anything that you think, maybe I do this different, or have you having children a little bit different?
I don't think so, honestly. I mean, I feel like I had, like, before the outset, I had a kind of a vision in mind where people... Like, I had a vision in mind beforehand, and the loss, our losses did impact that vision. And my vision is like, you know, you hear people all the time, they complain about, like, well, kids these days, man, they don't make them like they used to. and then, all right, so people, golly, boy, I see people flinch around my fatherhood all the time because if I'm going to create a kid that, you know, they don't make them like they used to anymore. Like one thing, all right, was in a parking lot and Elle's running along and she trips as she does 15 times a day and hits the ground and starts screaming. And I mean, people, like five different people start, oh my God, like big eyes.
Everything's a 10 for our daughter, just so you know.
I yell at her, I said, you bleeding? No. Get up. Let's go. And I mean, you would have thought. You would have, like, I was expecting, like, someone from Child Protective Services
to jump out and grab
People were just, and I was like, hey, if you want kids different, you got to treat them differently. If you want them resilient. And I just remember, like, that would be one of those things that my dad used to say to me back in the day, like, hey, are you bleeding? Like, no, I'm not bleeding. You don't have a reason to cry. Get up. Let's go. Okay. And, like, I want to grow tough kids. And, like, I had that in my mind before we ever, like, from the outset. It's just, it would be easy to go like, man, you know, I want to change that. And I want to be like a little softer and because of what, you know, we've had these losses and now I just want to kind of back off of that. I don't like, if anything,
if
like
you carry them around on a pillow because you struggled with infertility, you will ruin them.
Yeah.
If you try to protect them from everything.
Yeah. And our eldest, she feeds into being coddled.
Yeah.
She loves, being coddled. And I'm just like,
and there's a time and a place for it.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. That's what Kendra's for. And Kiki. And I'm just like, when that girl grows up, I want her to hear my voice in the back of her mind when life kicks her in the mouth. I'm not bleeding. Get up and go.
Yeah, keep going.
Yeah. I wanted to know, like, daddy was the one that let me know I could keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what you're meaning. It's like,
yeah,
I want to.
That's the. Yeah,
like, and you're also her backbone.
Yeah.
You know, and she knows that.
Yeah.
Okay. Daddy told me I could keep going.
I hope she hears that voice in the background. There's this one part of me, too, that's like, gosh, I hope I'm not ruining this kid. She's
going to hate
me. Like, she's going to kick me off into a nursing home and be like, see what it feels like now, old man?
No, not going to happen.
Well, oh, my goodness. Somehow we only have two more minutes.
Speed round.
Maybe one more question. What else
we got? Okay, girl dads. We got a question about girl dads. What are some ways God has shown you how to uniquely, which you just talked about that, uniquely love your daughter? What has God taught you through your daughter?
Oh, man.
We'll start crying
Will.
Sorry.
Yeah. I am a big softy when it comes to my girls because I had a boy first, and he's the one I'm tough on. And so,
I feel like I can't answer that question because I don't have one.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is all I know.
Yeah. And so, gosh, yeah, he's the one I'm hard on, and I know that. But yeah, it's I wasn't prepared for, you know, holding that girl for the first time and feeling like that. What I always say, I literally remember thinking, if anybody hurts you, I'll just kill them. You know, but you do have that. You do love them that much, though. You want to protect them that much, and it's just a blessing, man. I wasn't ready for the blessing that it would be, honestly. You know,
And you are their super. We are also Mark's superhero, but like the girls, like it's like a grand entrance whenever Will gets home from work.
So.
It is.
Anyway, well, it was fun having you guys
too
on
bad.
Again.
And listen, if you guys are listening and you're not yet a father, just know God is your father. He loves you. He sees you right where you are. And they were there one day. And maybe your miracle's around the corner. And you just need to keep pressing in and trusting God and holding on to him in this season.
Yeah, that's so good.
Well, happy Father's Day, guys.
Happy Father's
Day.
Awesome.
Happy Father's Day. Thank you.
You guys, we'll see you back next week on Hannah's Heart.